Martha's Vineyard, August 1991. Most people who consider themselves lucky are also plagued by superstition, and I had developed a ritual around the opening of any movie I appeared in. I was in London during the openings of Back to the Future and Teen Wolf, both of which had huge first weekend grosses. Ever since, I had made an effort to be, if not out of the country, then at least out of any major city when my movies hit the theaters. The hard way had been the exception, and look how that had turned out. I wasn't going to make the same mistake with Doc Hollywood. Obviously, there was no rational point to this ritual, but I was looking for every possible edge. There was cause for worry. Audience tracking, exit polling of moviegoers to assess their likelihood of electing to see a new film, indicated that not many were likely to go see Doc Hollywood. If ever there was a time to get the hell out of town, this was it. Tracy, Sam, and I had plans to spend the month of August at her parents' place on Martha's Vineyard. On the Thursday before Friday's release, I flew there myself. My family would join me on Saturday. Tracy and I agreed that it would be a lot easier for me to sweat out opening night solo. Coincidentally, and unfortunately for him, my agent Peter Benedek was also vacationing on Martha's Vineyard with his family. They'd rented an elegant Victorian house in Edgartown with a view looking across the bay toward Chappaquiddick, site of Teddy Kennedy's date with infamy. Pete extended a gracious but ill-advised invitation for me to join his family and friends for dinner that Friday night. On edge and looking forward to nothing less than the complete collapse of my career, I made a poor dinner guest, to put it mildly. I skipped the appetizers and went straight from an extended cocktail hour into several bottles of wine for dinner. By the time the entree was served, I was completely blotto. It wasn't a fun evening. Traditionally a charming, mushy kind of drunk, I'm told. My fear and anxiety mixed with all that alcohol made me belligerent. I was staggered, not only by the effect of the drinks, but by the reality that at that very moment, in cineplexes across the country, my fate was being decided by strangers. Moviegoers were either buying or not buying a ticket for my film, and my gut told me that it was the latter. Unable to vent my spleen on each one of the non-ticket buyers, I turned on my agent. "You're gonna fucking call me tomorrow morning, Pete, and you know what you're gonna fucking say? You're gonna fucking say, 'I'm fucking sorry, man.' And then what? I'll tell you what, I fucking quit. I can't take this shit anymore." Pete, one of the gentlest, sweetest, kindest people in the business, never mind agentry, really had no counter. He knew I was right, although he probably doubted the sincerity of my threats to retire. He promised me that whatever happened, we'd ride it out, and then he offered me a ride home. Fortunately, the way home didn't pass over the Chappaquiddick Bridge. When the phone rang at about 9 the next morning, I let it go for a while. Hungover, I was worried that the news I might be about to hear would make me puke my guts out. After a half dozen rings, I picked up the phone without saying anything. Pete broke the silence. "Mike," he said tentatively. I winced. His tone brightened. "We did it, man. We opened this motherfucker. They think it's going to do 8 to 9 for the weekend. It's killing in the secondary markets. St. Louis, Chicago, Atlanta." I thanked him and apologized profusely for my behavior the night before. I hung up the phone and smiled. Doc Hollywood was a hit. Not a gigantic hit, not a blockbuster, but an undeniable, guaranteed-to-make-a-profit box office success. I was still in showbiz, had earned a couple more at-bats. My hangover was gone.